Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from the book of Romans and then a passage out of the Gospel of Mark. First, out of the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 8, and I'm reading out of the Message translation. And the Apostle Paul says this: we can understand someone dying for a person worth dying for, and we can understand how someone good and noble would inspire us to selfless sacrifice. But God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatever to him. Or out of a different translation, the Living Bible, Romans 5:8, Paul says this: but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And then of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, beginning verse 22. They led Jesus to the place called Golgotha. The soldiers nailed Jesus to a cross. They divided his clothes among themselves, throwing dice to see who would get what. At noon, the whole country became dark. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out loudly. Then Jesus cried out again and died. A couple of days ago on Easter Sunday, we remembered that day over 2,000 years ago where some of those who had been with Jesus were headed to the tomb, defeated. During that past week for them, they had watched the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem, what we call Palm Sunday. This was the time they were certain he was to finally take over the rule from the Roman government. That was what was supposed to happen. That is what they believed was going to happen. They'd been waiting for the coming of the promised Messiah for over 400 years. This had to be him. Finally, they were sure of it. In the last 3 years, they had seen Jesus teaching and healing, performing miracles, regularly irritating religious rulers with what he said and did, and wandering the countryside with his disciples. Through all of that, he had given them hope that this was the moment he would take over and make their lives better here and now. Of course, they were right. It was the moment. But it wouldn't happen how they expected, how they imagined or believed or wanted it to. And then just a few short days later on Friday, Good Friday, we call it, he would breathe his last, doing what he came to do for us as he hung from and died on the cross at Calvary. And looking up at him hanging on that cross that Friday, those who were there, they didn't get it. How could this be happening? They wondered and asked. Really? Is this really happening this way? So as they suffered through Saturday, dejected, and headed to the tomb that next morning, what do you suppose they were expecting to find when they arrived? A miracle? Do you think they came there that morning expecting to find an empty tomb with an angel sitting there telling them that their spices weren't needed? The Lord had taken off. Nope. Absolutely not. They came that morning with their spices, expecting to anoint Jesus' dead body. Even though he had told them what would happen, they didn't expect anything special. They didn't expect the miracle that he had promised. And as they came at dawn that morning, they were still overcome with the horror of Friday, remembering how Jesus was beaten, mocked, spit upon, ridiculed, cursed, whipped, and then nailed to the cross and hung up to die. They watched as the Roman soldiers drew lots for his garments, or as the scripture in Mark says, threw dice for his garments at the foot of the cross, while the life hanging above them, his, slowly slipped away. And then they saw how the sky darkened, became almost black, and the earth shook as he breathed his last. Darkness was all around. It was a metaphor, really, for their lives and for ours at times. It was just too much for them to take in. Their hope was gone. They were separated from Christ. Everywhere they turned, they hit a wall of darkness, a wall of despair. They couldn't see beyond or get past. This wasn't supposed to happen. There was nothing good about what happened. We've been there. I have. You have. Maybe we're there now. We face walls we can't seem to see around or get around, walls which isolate us from others, often self-imposed walls, walls of rejection or criticism that we allow to stand in our way and that hold us back from becoming all we can be, or maybe walls of guilt that we can't get beyond despite the fact that God has already forgiven us, but we can't let go of it and forgive ourselves and move on, walls of sorrow and self-doubt, of disappointments and tragedies that we can't get beyond, walls of sin and wrongdoings that make us feel like, well, like we don't deserve him. We just can't get back to him. We're sure that he'll never forgive us for what we did. We have moments we can only describe as darkness, where we begin to feel almost irretrievably separated and distant from God. I know. I've been there. I was checking out of Bed Bath & Beyond, the store, during one of my recent trips there for my bride. And as I laid the item I was buying on the checkout counter, I could see that the young lady helping me had a tattoo on the underside of her left arm, which mentioned Romans, but I couldn't make out the verse. And so I asked her what the verse was. Romans 5:8, she said, showing it to me. And then seeing that I was trying to call it up, she waited for a moment for me to remember the verse. But after a bit, when I couldn't remember, she said that the verse is, "I loved you at your darkest." She smiled, sensing, it seemed, at that very moment, the truth of that verse again for her, realizing that no matter where she was or what she had done, God loved her and showed her that when Christ died on the cross for her. My friends, God sent Jesus to die for us, not because we were good enough, but because he loved us. I love the passage from the Message translation of Romans that we read before, as it says, "But God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatever to him." Guys, before Christ, we were lost in darkness, and there was nothing we could have done for him to get him to do what he did. Nothing. And that's the point. It's not about what we can do for him. It's what he did for us. The passage we read from the Living Bible reads, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." His death is the clearest manifestation of God's love for us. We didn't deserve it, but he drew us close. He wants us close. It's hard to think of what happened that Friday at Calvary as good. But our eternal life with our Heavenly Father would never have happened without what Christ did on the cross for you and for me. The word good back then was also translated as holy, and therefore Holy Friday became Good Friday. Calling it, though, Good Friday is entirely appropriate, because the suffering and the death of Jesus, as terrible and as dark as it was, marked the dramatic culmination of God's plan to save his people, you and me, from their sins. God sent the Messiah, not to rule in place of the Roman government, but to save us, to provide a way to an eternal relationship with a holy God, and to rule in our lives forever. It was a good moment for us. Whenever we have moments where we feel uncertain about God's love for us, we need to remember that he loved us even before we turned to him. He loved us when we were forever separated from him. He loved us as we lived a life of sin away from him. He loved us when we didn't deserve his love. He loved us in our darkness. He loved us at our darkest moments. In those moments where we stray from his way and are less than he wants to be, he loved us. In all of the darkest moments of our lives, where sin had a grip on us, feeling that there was no way out, where we didn't know how or where to take that first step into the light, he loved us and he showed us the way. And he does today, and he will tomorrow, and the day after that, and every day. No matter how lonely or alienated times we feel, we have the absolute truth in our pocket that Christ died for us. Every time we celebrate communion, we hear and embrace the words of Jesus, "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. We cannot earn it. We can't earn it. We did not earn it. When we were sinners, when we didn't even know him, he died for us because he loved us. And as we press on to be all he created us to be, we can always remember and believe his words to us along the way, which that young lady had tattooed on her arm. Not a bad tattoo if you're into tattoos. And said, I loved you at your darkest. He did. And he always will. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for this reminder. I thank you for Easter. I thank you for Good Friday, reminding us in the horror of that moment what you did for us and what you plan to do for us. Came to save us by climbing on the cross for us. And then 3 days later, rising from the tomb to life so that we might have with you, believing in you and what you did for us, that we might have eternal life with you right here and now, day by day and on through into eternity. Be with us, guide and direct us, carry us, lift us, lead us into every day of our life so that we might be all that you call us to be. Thank you for reaching out to us in our darkest and in our dark moments, even today. Difficulties we experience, we know you are reaching out to us and drawing us close and into all that you want us to be with you. Thanks for loving us. In your son's precious, precious name, the risen Christ, we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.